when we look at the book of Judges, this is the book that is written after you find the death of Joshua. Joshua was a military leader. Joshua was not only a great military leader, but he was just a good leader all around. Joshua was the kind of person that, I tell you, it amazes me, the life of Joshua. And it's amazing because Joshua.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When we look at the book of Judges, this is the book that is written after you find the death of Joshua. Joshua was a military leader. Joshua was not only a great military leader, but he was just a good leader all around. Joshua was the kind of person that, I tell you, it amazes me, the life of Joshua, because, you know, he was not boastful, nor was he prideful, but he just knew what God wanted him to do, and he did it. And people followed Joshua because God told him, he said, as I was with Moses, I'll also be with you. And it's amazing because Joshua had men following him. And then one day they all hanging out and Joshua's sitting over there sharpening up a rock. And then he said, hey, come here. Let me circumcise you, grown men, because you're not ready to go over into the land like you are. And these grown men let another grown man circumcise them because he was just that great of a leader. Anytime you have a great leader, you ought not mind doing anything he asks you to do because it's going to work out for your good. But after Joshua, we find out that we had many judges that God raised up in the land of Israel because they needed somebody to help deliver them from the hand of the people who God had turned them over to go and serve because of their disobedience. Every time God would deliver them, they would go back and do something else. And then God would say, okay, you open up the door. And see, a lot of times that's how we are. God will bless us, God will deliver us, and God will heal us, and we turn right back around like a hog to slop, like a dog back to his vomit, and we go right back and do the same stuff that God just delivered us from. And we say, you know, and you know, I know I'm not the only one. I remember in my days when I was just a young boy trying to experiment with life, and sometime I'd get fooled. Get drunk is what they call it. I'm going to say it right. And then I'd say, Lord, I promise you, if you just get me through this sickness, and before I can get up good, after I've thrown up all night, I open up another one and start right back over again. You know, and the state that I was in, it seemed like I would have learned my lesson, but I continued to do the same thing over and over. And they tell me that that's a sign that you're a fool if you keep doing the same thing. Ooh. And you know it's not working for you. Well, sometimes that's how Israel was. They kept doing the same stuff. They go out and they find idol gods, and they'll go out and they forget about God. You know how it is. When we're doing bad, we remember God. Lord, as soon as you give me this job, I'm gonna pay my tithes. Oh, but when you get that first paycheck, you say, I need to buy some new clothes, some new shoes. And by the way, I've been wanting to get that DirecTV because I was setting my scissors and I saw it. Amen. And we find other things to spend that on, and we stop coming to church because, I ain't really got nothing to wear. Well, you can buy everything else to wear, but you ain't got nothing to wear to church. The devil is a liar. We got to see here that we do good and praying to God when things aren't going so well. But as soon as we have trouble, amen, as soon as we get out of trouble, then we forget what God has done for us. We forget, you know what they forgot? They forgot that when they were in Egypt, they didn't have nothing. They were just there, and the people put a hard task on them. They forgot that when they were in the wilderness, they didn't have no crops to plant. They didn't have no harvest, but God gave them manna from heaven, and he gave them flesh to eat and water from a rock. They had forgotten that they came from through the Red Sea and came through the Jordan to possess a land that God had given to them. They had forgotten all about that because now we got it. You know, that's how we are. We forget. Because we got it now. And so the children of Israel, they had forgotten the things of God, and God every time, and because God is just a loving God, every time they would cry out to the Lord, he would raise somebody up. Every time they would say, Lord, help us, the Lord would raise somebody up to deliver them from the hand of whatever enemy they were facing. I don't care who the enemy was and how strong they was and how many it was, God always found a way to raise up somebody to deliver them from their enemy. Now, I said that part, that God raised up somebody to say this. Now, we always saying what we don't like and who we don't like. And the preacher we don't like, preach anyway. But God is only going to use a man to deliver his people. That's why Jesus was born of a woman. So that it would be a human being. He was as much God as he was man. We call that the Anthropos. Amen. He was so much God that he was able to lay hands on a casket and a boy rose from the dead. But he was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died. Come on and say amen. He was so much God that he could walk on water. But then he was so much man on the cross, he said, I thirst. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And so God will use us. He will use mankind to deliver mankind. Why does God do that? Because God wants us to have confidence not only in him, but that he can use any one of us at any time he gets ready. And some people have their reserves about who God can use. God can use a child if he wants to. Preach anyway. God can use whoever he feels like using at the time he wants to use them. And so God would raise up somebody. If you read Judges, you'll find out that he used Barak and Deborah. He used Gideon. We thought Gideon didn't think much of himself. He said, I'm the least of my father's house. I'm a coward because I'm hiding where I should be threshing out, where I should be making wine. I'm here threshing out wheat. I'm hiding from what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? And so God can use whomever he wants, whenever he wants, but then we find here that God raised up a man named Samson. Now, Samson, his name means sunlight. The reason his name means sunlight, because Israel was at a dark place. They were in a dark place in the history of Israel because they were now to pay tribute and to serve the Philistines. They were there to serve them because they had sinned against God. And the Philistines, they lived in what we call now Gaza. Now, some people, even the Palestinians right now, you know, they got a little thing going on with the Palestinians and the Israelites. But the Palestinians claim that they are from the ancient Philistines, but that's not true. That's a whole different group of people. These Palestinians are Arabs. These Philistines were not. Amen? And so the Philistines, they were now an uncircumcised, an unclean people. They did anything. And God had given them over to them, but God had an ought against them. God said, I want to pick a fight with the Philistines. And since God wanted to pick a fight, he said, let me raise somebody up. Well, he looked throughout the land and there was nobody, so he had a man and a woman name their child Samson, and he said, and when you have this child, he shall be a Nazarene. He has a vow that he'll keep. Don't put no razor on his head. Let his hair grow, and let it grow like I want it to grow. Amen? And he let his hair grow into 7 locks, and he grew up, and he was strong, and he was not supposed to touch any dead thing, and all these things that he was not supposed to do because he was not supposed to drink wine because he had the vow of a Nazarene. Amen? But he grew up. He grew up and he began to do little things. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the restoration. I'm talking about reviving. Amen. Because revival is restoration. Amen. And so when we talk about hair, when we talk about how his hair grew back, we talk about hair. We're talking about how many times the Bible talks about hair. So many times. Hair is a metaphor. And metaphorically, it is a symbol of covering. Hair is not only a symbol of covering, but is a symbol of a vow and a covenant. Hair is the glory unto the woman, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul addresses the hair as a covering. He said that this is the woman's glory. But then he goes on to say that how the church glory, how our glory is Christ Jesus. Amen? Because he is the head. Amen? And so we have to understand that it represents us making a vow to our head, Christ Jesus. And so when we talk about this, you have to understand that this thing that Samson, this hair that he was growing, was not just hair. And that's why I better not say that. I was going to say something about hair weave, but I better leave that alone. But we need to know what kind of covering we have. I ain't going to pick on nobody. We need to know what kind of covering we have. That's why it's important that you don't just get covered by anything. Oh, come on and say amen. Well, I won't bother that. Let's go on to the scripture. He says, Samson was raised up, and he began to do little things that finally got him in trouble. When he was told he wasn't supposed to touch a dead thing, he touched a dead lion and poured honey out of his mouth. When he was told that he wasn't supposed to drink, he started to drink. When he told that he wasn't supposed to take women that were of the Philistines or of a foreign country, where he was supposed to be with the women that were of Israel and get him a wife from there, he did not want that. He rebelled. Sounds like a teenager to me. Come on and say amen. Anytime you tell them what they should do, they decide, I don't want to do it. Anytime you tell them what's best for them, they say, oh, I think I know what's best for me. I wish I had somebody. And so here it is. Samson, he was thinking that I know what's best for me. And besides, I'm the deliverer of Israel. You got to be careful when you find yourself getting proud and thinking that you got pride in what God has lent to you to do. Sometimes we get prideful and we think that this belongs to me. And I don't know why I keep saying this. I said it last night. We think that just because God has put us in ministry, that everything belongs to us and we can do what we want and can't nobody do anything about it. Oh, come on and say amen. But he did a lot of little things that caused him a problem. And see, sometimes it's the little white lie. That's what they call it. I don't know the difference between a big black one or a little white one. But a lie is a lie. It's the little things. Sometimes we don't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We tell a little bit of the truth. And then we fabricate the rest. But guess what? Those little things begin to get you in trouble. You begin to listen to a little bit of gossip. Oh, come on and say amen. I know you've listened to some gossip here lately. We dig a little bit into other people's business. Plant a little bit of bad seed because we don't really like the person and their attitude. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we cuss just a little bit. We drink just a little bit. We smoke just a little. Every now and then I just get one when I'm drinking. Come on and say amen. Those little things that we do can get us in a world of trouble. Because it's the little things that we don't pay attention to that we begin to do that gives us confidence to do the big things that we shouldn't do. We do a little bit and see if what's going to happen. Ain't nothing happen. Then we go back and do a little bit more. Nothing didn't happen then. I think I'm all right now. Then we step out a little bit more and nothing didn't happen. I think I got it now. And then we go into doing something and before you know it, we're in trouble. Profession is safety, and I used to show this video where it had a rat and it had some cheese, and he was singing to the cheese, and he was, you know, I believe in miracles, and he was just serenading that cheese, and the cheese was sitting on the trap, and he went up to the trap, and he was good at what he did, and he was able to grab the cheese, and the trap went off, and he was glad that he got the cheese, but what he didn't realize was there was somebody with a broom, and they knocked him out. You see, that's what happened to us when we get focused on stuff we shouldn't have and shouldn't do and shouldn't be a part of, and we get away with it. We're not focused on the one with the broom. Somebody's going to sweep you. Come on and say amen. Something's going to sweep through and knock us out of this thing. Amen. Okay, and he says, so here we go. Now, Samson, we talked about Solomon last night. Samson, in verse 18, he went to Delilah. He had been going out with these girls, and you know, sometimes if you got to watch it, you got to watch the company that you keep, because bad company, it'll corrupt your manners. Amen. And that's why, you know, when I was growing up, they told us who we can be friends with. If their family was no good, then that boy better not come back here. They did that for my own good. I didn't understand it then, but if his family, if all of them still, then I couldn't go play at their house. It's called parenting. Amen. So he was hanging out with people he shouldn't have been hanging with. Went to Delilah's house and saw, and he saw Delilah, and he said, "Ooh, we just fell in love all over again." And she tricked him every time she asked him, "What is it what's the meaning of your power? What's the meaning of your strength?" And every time he would tell her something, she would say, "You lied to me." And she began to make him feel bad about that. You got to be careful when people try to run a guilt trip on you, to make you feel bad about not telling them all your inner secrets, because they may want to know for a reason that you don't want them. Oh, come on and say amen. They may want to know so they can go out and tell somebody and talk about you. And the Bible even says, don't cast your pearls upon the swine, because it'll only trodden under their feet. I wish I had somebody here. What's precious to you, don't give it to somebody else, because they will not take care of it. But Delilah, he kept going back to Delilah. And Delilah had these Philistines to come, and they made a proposition. They said, "Delilah, if you can just get him to tell you what it is, because he's killed too many of our people. He's too strong. We can't do nothing with him." And everybody in Israel is getting confidence, because this man here, he can't be beat. And so she said, "Just give me the money, 100 pieces of silver." There's something about silver that is the metal of betrayal. Amen. Jesus was betrayed with silver. And when Delilah saw, now she understood that he had lied to her before, but this time she realized he told the truth. And when she saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines and said, "Come," and he showed me all his heart. She said, "He's told me everything." And when they came in, they brought the money, and she made him to sleep on her knees. You got to be careful where you lay your head. In other words, you got to be careful where you rest your mind. You got to be careful who you tell all your mind to, all your goals, all your vision. Amen? Because everybody's not in your corner. Everybody don't want to see you prosper. And it's not because it's them, but it's because of the devil in them. Now, if you don't believe that the devil get in people, you just ain't lived long enough to know it. Because the devil will influence people to be against you, all because you think better. I want to do better than what I'm doing now. I want to achieve something. Amen? And so she made him to sleep upon her knees. And she called for the man, and the man came and shaved the 7 locks off his head and began to afflict him, and the strength went from him. And look at this. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson," just to see what was going to happen. And you know, a lot of people, that's what they do. They tell you stuff to see what you're going to do. You got to watch out for that. Preach amen. You got to watch out for people that come tell you stuff just to see your reaction. Sometimes people don't really care about you, but they just want to know what you are. Oh, yeah, they're looking for you to act a fool. They know you're going to put on your clown suit. They know the circus is coming to town and some entertainment is about to happen. Whenever they tell you what they got to tell you, girl, let me tell you this. They call you on the telephone. You wonder why in the world they calling me. They ain't called my number. Why they texting me? Where you get my number from to begin with? But you got something to tell me, because you want to see how I'm going to react. Got to be careful who tell you things. Some people genuinely love you, but other folks, they want to hurt you. and want to see you hurt. Come on and say amen. So he woke up out of his sleep and he said, I'll go out as other times and shake myself. And he did not even know that the Lord had left him. Isn't it something if you're fired and don't even know it? My God, today. It's something if God fires you and you don't even realize you've been fired. You don't have a pink slip yet. God hadn't told you, I don't want you on the job anymore. You just get up, and then there ain't no power. You can't do what you used to do. You don't have the same anointing you used to have. You're not able to cast out devils. You're not able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You're not able to operate and to function under the anointing of God because he's fired you. Because you've been dabbling in stuff that you shouldn't be dabbling in. You've been saying things and doing things that you know you don't have any business doing that is not becoming of a servant of the living God. And all of a sudden, you can't do it no more. Then you start settling because you can't do it. Amen. It's quiet, but it's all right. And so he found out the hard way that the Lord had left him. See, the only reason God was with him is so that he could deliver the children of Israel. Some of us think that God is with us so that we can fight against each other. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, even wickedness in high places. He said that with the darkness of this world, he said that's who we wrestle against. But too busy wrestling against one another. We're too busy. And you know, we're too busy trying to steal church members. You come to our church, you do that. You know, we're wrestling against one another when God is saying that we wrestle against the enemy. There's a principal spirit everywhere you go, you need to recognize. And I'm going to give you this wisdom for free. Amen. Whenever you go into a place, an area, or a region, there's a principal spirit. This spirit, you can tell what it is as soon as you go in a place, because if it's poverty, you'll see slums. If this principal spirit is sorcery, then you're going to see drugs and you're going to see alcohol, and people are going to indulge in it because that's the principal spirit. If the principal spirit is gossip, there's always mess going on. If the principal spirit is murder, that's why you have some cities that are the murder capitals of the world. Come on and say amen. And so we need to know that there's a principal spirit in Clarence, there's one in Natchitoches, there's one in the region that we need to identify and we need to be able to come against. Maybe I'm going too far with that. Y'all don't hear me. We got to understand that we don't wrestle against one another. But that's why God had raised Samson up, so that he would wrestle against the enemy, so that he would defeat the enemy. But they took him. They plucked his eyes out. They put his eyes out. And so when we look at this, we understand that they took him. They put his eyes up. We look at his prison. First point, his prison was painful because they took out his eyes. They took away his vision. And without a vision, the people what? Perish. You have no strength, you have no power, and you have no vision. So what good are you now? You can't see and you have no power to go nowhere if you could see. Oh, come on and say amen. And so the first thing they did was put his eyes out, because you then cannot see how to harm me. You then can't see how to defend yourself. You can't see what God wants you to do, and you can't see the direction that God wants you to go in. And so the enemy, first off, he tried to get your vision blurred. That's why he put stuff in your face so you can't see around it. That's why he put problems there. That's why he make you focus on all your problems. He make you focus on all your pain. He make you focus on who said what. You can try to pray, but all you can see is the person that hurt you. You can come on and say amen here. You can try to pray, but all you can see is what happened yesterday. You can try to pray and you can't see nothing else. You go to bed and you're thinking about what you're going to tell them tomorrow when you get back to work, because you can't see nothing else. Well, y'all make me think I'm the only one. They took him to Gaza and they put his eyes out. That's the first thing they did. They took his power and they took his vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people what? Perish. If you don't have any vision, the word perish means you cease to exist and you cease to be effective. If you have no vision, you're not going to be effective in life.
That's why it's important to instill vision in our children when they're young. If you instill vision in them when they're young and tell them you need to have goals, you need to, what are you trying to do, what you're going to do, you need to try to challenge them. And sometimes we don't want to challenge them. And when they feel, when they realize, like Sister Netta said, when they realize they can eat without working, they won't leave your house. They'll never go to work. They'll never do anything but sit there at your house, and they're keeping the house company. They're making sure ain't nobody coming in. I wondered if I can get some talk back here. Maybe I'm already too long. I'm 20 minutes in. The prison was punishing because they took him and they put him in fetters and they locked up his hands and his feet, and then he did grind at the prison house. They took him, and look at what they did. They took him and they put him to doing the work that a female slave would normally do. Oh, you supposed to be such a macho man. We're going to make you work like a woman. Amen. And so what the enemy wants to do is to take what you can see and then take your identity, break your self-esteem down, and put you in a place where you don't even believe in yourself. Amen. So if somebody speak hurting words to you, that's the words of the enemy. That's not the words of God, because God wants to lift you up. He's in the business of building people, not breaking them down. And so they put him in the grind house in the prison to grind. Amen. They put him there to grind. And when they did this, they put him there, and as he pushed around grinding the corn or grinding or whatever he was doing, they put him there. And while he was doing these things, they put him in the grind house. And while he was doing it, he was exerting energy. He was just getting tired and going around and around. Sometimes that's what happens to us when the enemy has arrested us. When we are caught up in the prison of the devil, he makes it where it seems like we ain't making no progress. That all we're doing is going around and around. And the funny thing here is that he couldn't even see that he was just making a circle. And sometimes you can't even see that you're making a circle. You keep going around in circles, but you can't see it. The devil got you locked into this thing. And that's why every year at the same time you get depressed the same time of year. That's why every year at the same time you get broke the same time of year. That's why every year at the same time your husband acts up, your wife acts up. Every year at the same time you start complaining, and I just want to be left alone. I don't want to go to church. That's why you stop going. Every summer you stop going to church and you come back the first of the year because I got a new resolution. I wish I had people in here that understood what I'm saying. Y'all get with me, I can close it. Maybe I'm going too far with that. Y'all don't hear me. We got to understand that we don't wrestle against one another. But that's why God had raised Samson up, so that he would wrestle against the enemy, so that he would defeat the enemy. But they took him. They plucked his eyes out. They put his eyes out. And so when we look at this, we understand that they took him. They put his eyes up. We look at his prison. First point, his prison was painful because they took out his eyes. They took away his vision. And without a vision, the people what? Perish. You have no strength, you have no power, and you have no vision. So what good are you now? You can't see, and you have no power to go nowhere if you could see. Oh, come on and say amen. And so the first thing they did was put his eyes out, because you then cannot see how to harm me. You then can't see how to defend yourself. You can't see what God wants you to do, and you can't see the direction that God wants you to go in. And so the enemy, first off, he tried to get your vision blurred. That's why he put stuff in your face so you can't see around it. That's why he put mountains there. That's why he make you focus on all your problems. He make you focus on all your pain. He make you focus on who said what. You can try to pray, but all you can see is the person that hurt you. You can come on and say man here. You can try to pray, but all you can see is what happened yesterday. You can try to pray and you can't see nothing else. You go to bed and you're thinking about what you're gonna tell them tomorrow when you get back to work, because you can't see nothing else.
Well, y'all make me think I'm the only one.
They took him to Gaza and they put his eyes out. That's the first thing they did. They took his power and they took his vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people what? Perish. If you don't have any vision, the word perish means you cease to exist and you cease to be effective. If you have no vision, you're not going to be effective in life. That's why it's important to instill vision in our children when they're young. If you instill vision in them when they're young and tell them you need to have goals, you need to